that was the whole purpose of like my mission in the book. It was like, take my lessons, take everything I did wrong, and maybe someone else can learn from that. Or I even look at like my friends and these situations that are heartbreaking to me. And it's like to shake them awake, to be like, you don't have to live like this. This doesn't have to be your full existence. But in order to do that, we have to get like really uncomfortable. We have to really tap into our strength. We have to get really messy. And that's the only way to get through that, to like that fierceness.
Welcome to the Bombshell Business Podcast, where driven women in business learn how to become more bold, brave, and unwaveringly confident. Feel empowered and challenged through inspiring stories and tell it like it is advice for business, life, and leadership.
Hey there, and welcome to the Bombshell Business Podcast. I'm your host, Amber Hurdle, and today's episode's going to be spicy. I can promise you that. So my guest is a divorce attorney, and she's just kind of gotten tired of seeing high-achieving women sacrifice themselves in order to fulfill the role of good wife, good boss, good employee, good mom, good daughter, good fill in the blank. And so today she's going to help us get clear on what you want, how to drop your excuses and roll up into action. So let's chat about how divorcing your inner good girl is the only way to get the life that you want. Renee Bauer is a speaker, author of She Who Wins, her most recent book, and three other books, Divorce in Connecticut, The Ultimate Guide to Solo and Small Firm Success, and the children's book, Percy's Imperfectly Perfect Family. Renee has been a divorce attorney for 20 years. She's the founder and managing attorney of Happy Even After Family Law, located in Connecticut. She hosts the annual She Who Wins Summit, a live event created to inspire, motivate, and challenge women to move forward bravely in their personal and business lives. Her impact has been recognized by Success Magazine, where she was nominated as Woman of Influence, and with awards such as Litigator of the Year, yeah, girl, Women-Owned Business of the Year, and New Leaders in the Law. She has been featured in multiple media outlets such as International Business Times, Comment Central, AP News, NBC, Fox, and iHeartRadio. You know, just a few little small publications. I am super excited to introduce you, Renee. Welcome to the Bombshell Business Podcast.
Thank you, Amber. It's going to be sassy and spicy. I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of big, powerful woman energy on this Zoom recording right now. So buckle up, everyone. Let's go. First question, and man, I had to think about, like, where do we even begin? Why do you think we tap into that inner good girl before we tap into our fierceness?
Yeah, I mean, it goes straight back to when we were little girls. And I think, you know, I think some of this is generational, too. And sure. I think that some of the younger women coming into their own do better at this than we do. I'm in my 40s, in my later 40s. So, you know, I grew up in a household where you were told to don't be disruptive, follow the rules, smile, get the good grades. It was all about people pleasing. And it was like, don't disappoint your parents. Follow that path that was laid out for you. Go to school, get the job, get married, have a kid, like check all the boxes. And when you do that, then you are successful until you're not, until something, right? Until like you get fired. Until you find yourself getting divorced, until you find yourself unfulfilled. And then like, and I love being in my 40s because I feel like it's that decade where I don't give a crap anymore about anything.
Wow, right? Use like a different word.
Put on I didn't know. I would have used that word too, but I'll be good. That's well. I'm your space. So, but yeah, and it's like, it's, you get to that point and it's like, wow, if I had only not cared this much in my 20s and 30s, what would my life looked like? I probably wouldn't have the two divorces under my belt. I probably wouldn't have some of the challenges that I struggled with. And that was the whole purpose of like my mission in the book. It was like, take my lessons, take everything I did wrong, and maybe someone else can learn from that. Or I even look at like my friends who are in these situations that are heartbreaking to me. And it's like to shake them awake, to be like, you don't have to live like this. This doesn't have to be your full existence. But in order to do that, we have to get like really uncomfortable. We have to really tap into our strength. We have to get really messy. And that's the only way to get through that, to like that fierceness.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because just yesterday I posted this and I couldn't agree more with you about like, oh my gosh, if I would have known this before. And I wasn't raised by a mom who said fit in the box. I mean, obviously, you know, there's some good girl mentality there of like, you know, nothing like a lot of women have had. And I'll say that my daughter got zero good girl like indoctrination. I think mine came more from I achieved in school and so be a good girl in school and, you know, that sort of thing. My daughter is like, if you met her, you'd be like, yep, she does not have a problem at all in this area because I wouldn't allow for it. But I wrote a post yesterday. If you're playing small ball because others are threatened by you playing big, and that can be anyone, find another room to enter, another role to play, or another relationship to participate in so you always have the freedom to grow and expand. Anyone or anything that continuously stunts your ability to play your best game is clearly someone or something you've outgrown. Be thankful for the season and its lessons, and then recognize it's time to move on. You're either growing or you're dying. I want to say that again. You're either growing or you're dying. So you can choose to allow others to kill your potential, or you can remove yourself from the room you've outgrown. Choose wisely. And I feel like that's who we are in our 40s.
Yeah.
We have the lessons. We still have like some really good years ahead of us. And it's like, back that. I'm not messing with that. Like, I love being in my 40s.
Yeah.
So what's the first step for, I would say, younger women? But the reality is women our age still struggle with this.
Yeah.
So how do they change their room without that guilt of they did something wrong or they're the problem?
So for practicing divorce law, almost every day, if not every week, that I have people come into my office and they're always asking me the same questions. And the question is, how do you know? How do you know that I'm making the right decision? How do you know I'm not screwing up the kids? How do you know that I'm going to be okay on my own? Then we'll be able to take care of the house. It's like, how do you know? And then I realized that that question plays over and over and over again, not just if you're in a relationship that might be falling apart, but when we're trying to make a decision, do we pick up and move across country and try something new? Do we quit the job that has sucked our soul? Do we start the business? Like, we always ask that question where we're at a crossroads of like, how do we know? And I thought back to like all the times that I would talk to clients and I'd be like, you already do.
Yeah.
So like, they're like, well, wait a second. Like, I just paid you a consult fee. Like, you're a professional and you have to give me the answer. And the answer is like the thing that it nags at you, like that thing that keeps you up at night, that you're like, one day I'll do this. One day I'll go for it. One day I'll take the solo trip. Like, whatever it is, like, that's the thing that you do now. And you don't put it off. If you catch yourself saying like one day, it's like not one day, like today is the day that you do that. And it's really, really paying attention what it is that you want, not what your friends think you should want, not what your family's opinions are. Like, people are really well-intentioned, but it's their own lens. Like, what do you want? You peel back all the layers, drop all the societal expectations. What do you want in your life? Like, that's the thing. And you get so clear on that. And then it helps you take that step forward and push through that fear and that uncertainty.
Yeah. And I love that because if you're asking the question, that was prompted from somewhere. And usually when you're asking the question, your subconscious has gotten you there or some final thing finally made you ask the question out loud. And that's probably a good indicator that you've already made the decision. You're just looking for validation at that point.
Yeah. Women are so intuitive. Where we know, like that gut instinct, that red flag, we know before we even think it, before we speak it. And yet, like, how often do we push it down? And we talk ourselves out of it. I did with a second husband that red flag was waving like so strong. And I was like, oh, it's just cold feet. It will all work itself out. It did not. I'm paying attention to that. And if we pay attention to that gut instinct, it will never guide us wrong. And that's like, I think that's a gift that so many women have, that I think we have just been raised to push that down and not pay attention to it and trust it. Because sometimes that voice gives us like these crazy wild thoughts or ideas, but our brain, our rational head tells us, well, that's not practical. It's not logical. It's not reasonable. So we put all of that stuff on hold or ignore it.
Yeah. And just to give a little bit of salve to you, Bombshell, as you're listening or watching this, you know, we do have this lizard part of our brain that its job is to protect us. And so sometimes we shove things down because we are trying to protect the family unit, or we're trying to protect the finances, or we're trying to protect all of the things or the image or whatever that is. And I know in my own recent divorce, and again, just in case you're a new listener, like, there's no animosity, like, whatever. I'm good. And I don't have any need to demoralize anybody else. But I will say, very interestingly, that I knew something wasn't right in my life. But as a former teen mom who has really, before I ever met this person, you know, I pulled myself up by the bootstraps. I figured it beep out. And when we move forward, and then like at this point, I had a really abundant life. And so I was just like, I don't understand, what is wrong. Is there something wrong in my head? Like, what is wrong? And I have a, you know, my kids are healthy. My family's great. I have a great relationship with my extended family. I live in a beautiful home. I drive a nice car. I get to do what I want for a living. Like, what is wrong? I have a great marriage. I have a perfect marriage. We were the power couple and all that kind of stuff. And everybody knew it. And so like once I found out that my marriage wasn't what I thought it was, when you did the back on like when I asked, you know, then I'm like, that's what it was. The timeline was exactly when I started going like, something's not right in my life, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's been going on that long then, huh? Okay, great. Well, we probably should wrap this up at this point then, because it's, you know, but even somebody who does this for a living, who coaches people, who is all about staying in touch with what you want and like what you desire in life, Ryan just missed it, you know?
To your point, when my son was a newborn, I was still on maternity leave. I remember with my first husband, my son's dad, driving down the street, and I had this thought that now that I have my son, I don't need anything else. That was the thought that I had. And I didn't even recognize at the time that there was something missing. Like there was something missing in my marriage, that the fact that I thought my son could be a replacement for whatever that was. I mean, how unfair is that to put that burden on a newborn? But I hadn't even recognized that that was the problem. Like it was just like, okay, I have my son, onward we go. I don't need to fix anything else, because I wasn't even aware. And when I was the one who decided to get divorced, and what I heard from people that I love was, why can't you just be happy? You have everything you could possibly want, the new house, the big wedding, it's the same thing. It was just like, why couldn't you just be happy? And I'm like, because there was such a disconnect. And just because you could be married to someone who's really a good person, and it's just not the right connection for you. And, you know, we've been divorced a really long time now. And I look at it, he remarried, he's with his perfect match. And yeah. I'm looking at them, but like, they make sense. We didn't make sense. And that's okay. Like, just because someone's good, just because your life is so-called perfect, and you go on the two Caribbean vacations a year, you can still be unhappy with that. And it's okay to recognize and be like, it's not enough, because maybe on the outside it's enough, but on the inside it's not enough. And you're kind of dying a little bit.
Yeah, the values misalignment, I think, is usually a huge part of that. But then sometimes, too, it's like, you know, one of the things that I say a lot, and sometimes, you know, we'll do it from stage and kind of chant back and forth. But I say, you know, if I'm too much, go find less. And a lot of my female clients are told constantly at work, in volunteer situations, by their partners, you're a lot. And it's like, yeah, I am. Hell yeah. A lot of awesome. And if that's too much for you, then you go find less. And so, you know, reprogramming a woman's mind from, what did you just say? That I don't know the exact words, but I'll paraphrase, of like, I should be happy with all of this. I should be happy. And that's what I thought, because I thought there was something wrong inside my brain. I'm like, mm-hmm. I have everything. How dare I wonder what is wrong in my life? But it was my inner knowing, my subconscious screaming at me. And I was just like,
yeah, you want to shut her down.
Yeah,
mute it. I'm like pounding the radio, trying to change the station. I don't want to hear it. It's hard. You know, and that's the thing. Like sometimes those conversations and that action that you know you have to take is going to be the hardest thing you ever do. Like it's never easy on the other side. But I look back at my life and I said, thank God I made the choice that I did, because where would I be now if I hadn't made that, you know? And I look at people who I love who've been married a long time and maybe they shouldn't have stayed married. And it's like, it makes me sad because they didn't actually step into their fullest power and their fullest light, because they absolutely dimmed themselves to fit inside what they thought that they were supposed to. And I see it now with friends. And I see it with high-performing women, too. And, you know, I have clients who come in and They've achieved everything. They have this great executive job and this income and the big house. And this is the area that they feel like there's a lack of control, because they're like, it's not, you know, they're perfectionists, they're overachievers, but this, they could not out hustle the emptiness that they felt in their marriage.
Well, and I think too, there's, for high achieving women, there's a whole other threat, right? So the two men, or a lot of men, if you're an alpha female, it takes a lot of intention on both parties to be with a man who's not super alpha. And I knew, you know, after my divorce, like, you know, he got married the same year that we got a divorce. So I think everybody kind of like looked to me like, well, what are you going to do now? And I'm like, sit my at home and think about what I want, because like, I'm not going to get this wrong again. So I took like a 2-year hiatus. Like, I was just like, I don't need that. I'm going to build my business. I'm going to worry about me. I'm going to think about what I want. I'm going to think about my part in this. I need to think about where I need to heal. I need to think about what is, you know, I am an ambitious woman. I am a very strong woman. So what does that look like for me? And the minute that I very clearly articulated my expectation of a man is when my boyfriend walked into my life, literally like a couple weeks later. So, and you know, I do not overwhelm him. That man will never tell me that I'm too much. Not that my ex-husband did. He didn't either. But, you know, so when you're thinking about walking away from something, which that wasn't what happened with me, it was a little bit different than that. But let's just say that it's your choice or it's not your choice. Whether somebody fired you, broke up with you, whatever that looked like, or you walked away from your job or your relationship, I strongly encourage you to, whether you have a good girl mentality or a bad girl mentality, take a pause.
Yeah.
What do you want? Not what do they want? Not what's expected of you? Not what did your parents tell you when you grew up? You know, what do you want? Did you go through that after your divorces? Like, let's say, like the second time, didn't you feel like, well, crap, a second time?
Yes. And the second time, I had so much shame around that, because I was like, oh, what's wrong with me? And that marriage, I was in and out of it in a year and a half, start to finish. Like, I knew early on, like, this is not going to work. I need to, like, just be done with this before I'm in too deep. And that one was just toxic in a way that makes me understand clients who, and you know, who have that same situation. It gave me so much empathy to the work that I do now. But I had this pause, like you were. And then my husband now, because I'm married a third time, we've been together 10 years now. He and I dated briefly before that second marriage, and then he came back into my life, and I was just like, whoa, 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 like, we're not, like, I'm not ready. And it just happened so naturally and organically, and we just let it, we didn't push it, and we just kind of let it unroll the way it was meant to, and it's a beautiful relationship. But I think that that's unique, and that's probably not what I would tell most clients. I would say give yourself more time, absolutely. And it's funny, because he and I just had a conversation over coffee today. I don't even know how we came up, but we were talking about, like, we're both like, we're in this for life. Like, we're lifers here now.
We're lifers.
Lifers. But we kind of joked. And I said, I'm like, you know what? I'm like, if something ever happened, I'm like, I'd be good. I'd be like, I wouldn't date anymore. I'd be like, you know what? I'm just going to hang out with my dogs for eternity. And I think that women often, more so than men, will have that mentality post-divorce or post-breakup, and men tend to be the ones who jump into the relationship
sure.
a little bit quicker. And we see it over and over again. It's like that rebound, you know, they have for a period of time, and then it falls apart, and then they create the space that they needed to heal.
Yeah, I remember packing up the dining room. And again, we kept everything a secret for so long. And so that there was partnership in that too. And I was like, oh, you should take this, because he had already bought a condo in a different city and everything, like, you know, and so I was like, well, you should take this. It's like brown and tan. And he's like, oh, I don't need that. And I was like, no, you're going to entertain a lady friend. And I'm not going to let you look like an idiot, like serving it on a Kroger plastic tray. Like, you need trays to serve charcuterie and whatnot on. And he was like, oh, I'm not going to get into anything anytime soon. And I'm just like, statistically speaking, yes, you are, you know, because it is. That's how it happens. Is
yeah.
Like, I guess because of different needs. And
yeah,
from a medical, financial, like, there's so many reasons where it's more beneficial for a man to be married than it is for a woman to remarry. So, I mean, you can Google all that. I didn't come prepared with the statistics, but it is psychologically It is all kinds of good for men. And really, we don't win as women. So I'm not saying don't get remarried. I'm just saying, like, really, really think about it, because it doesn't do us as much good. Are you okay if I read something out of your book, Renee?
Yeah.
So I have coached a lot of women out of their jobs because it's the same experience, right? They are given a title, but not a seat at the table. They've put a check in the diversity box, but they don't actually get to do anything. They're not respected. They're not heard. Or maybe they've just, like, they're given a certain level, but they never can get past that. And it's like, man, you've got so much more to offer than that. And so it gets challenging. But this is like what you wrote. I'm like, oh my gosh, I could have written this. If you resonate with this, just raise your hand in your car, on the treadmill, in your jammies, wherever you're listening to this. You're being so difficult. You're too sensitive. You're overreacting. Why can't you take a joke? Nothing ever makes you happy. You're blowing things out of proportion. You're acting crazy. Bet if you tell me that I'm acting crazy. I know I'm baseline crazy, so you don't need to tell me I'm acting like it. You make no sense. You're being unreasonable. You are twisting things. You're twisting things. I'm going to say that one more time. You are twisting things. No, buddy, you just can't keep up. Why are you starting a fight? I guess I just do everything wrong, said as sarcastically as possible. I just won't say anything next time. You always take things the wrong way. Why are you getting so worked up? You're being ridiculous. That's another good one. I must be a piece of garbage then. If I'm so unreasonable, why are you with me? Do you hear yourself? I was joking. You have issues that you need help with. Get over yourself. Anybody, by the way, you can get She Who Wins. This is a good, you want it, I promise. Those things get told to us, not just by our partners, but by our bosses or by our colleagues that are at the same level of us, who want to overpower us so that we cannot rise above them. So when that malarkey happens, what do we say in return? Why are they saying this to us? Why are they saying these things?
Well, those things get said because it's a power play. Right? It's to shrink you don't want to get too big for your britches. You know, the audacity of a woman to speak her mind and to know what she wants and to assert herself. She's a bitch, right? Like, those are all the things that we hear in the workplace or in toxic marriages. I mean, they're all things that I've heard at one place or the other, not all relationships. And so how do you respond to that? You know, I think it takes practice. Because I think back about myself in my good girl era when someone would say something like that to me. And my response would be like, well, are they right? Maybe I am being unreasonable. Maybe it just was a joke. Maybe I'm being too sensitive. It's like all those things. And it's like, no, I'm not going to invalidate how I feel in that moment. And so it's getting really good at stopping that conversation before it goes any further. And you can shut it down. Or you can speak up and speak out, but do it unapologetically and don't question yourself, because if you feel it, it's valid. And I think that so often that's where women will question themselves and they'll be like, well, you know, it's something that I maybe, you know, maybe I was being unreasonable. I'm hormonal. So maybe it's a hormonal reaction. And like, we do that and we question that. And it's like, no, stand in that power on it and speak it. And then because you know what, that one instance, maybe it turns into something else, another relationship, another boss, someone else saying something like that. And you get better and better and better at advocating for yourself. And then I think you get to the point, Amber, where you are so confident in who you are and what you want that people don't dare. They don't dare anymore. You know, it's like, especially in like the legal world, like you start, other lawyers will like, let me see how far I can push. And it's like, no, that's not happening. They won't try it again. And it's like, you start to condition people around you to treat you a certain way.
Yeah. There's so much stuff that has gone through my brain as you've said that. And I was like, you know, staying with you. And then like the next thought came, but staying with you. So I'm going to try to like go back and like capture some responses there. I think the very first thing I want to say is if your significant other, man or woman, whatever, has said one of these things to you, that does not equate that you have a toxic relationship. Like, we're all flawed. We all have issues. We all have to work through them. You know, go to the Gottman Institute, learn how to repair. Okay. There's ways to work on these things. But if these are said to you all the time, or if routinely when you have an opinion or you express your feelings, which are very real, that doesn't mean that they're true. It just means that they're real. That's when you have to slow down and really dive into Renee's wisdom and advice here. And, you know, and one thing that my therapist has told me is like, you've got to give the other person some credit here, because I'm like you. I'm like, well, I'm the common denominator, and the only person I can change is myself, or my perspective, my behavior, whatever that is. Like, I can't change anybody else. So I always come to the table ready to work on me. But then sometimes she's like, Amber, you got to give him some credit. Like, that was pretty bad, or that wasn't nice, or that was thoughtless or unkind or whatever. And so like having some kind of a thought partner, whether it's a coach or a therapist or a great lawyer like you to help you navigate that, helps us to own our peace, but also not fall into good girl era, as you called it, and wallow in this slippery slope of losing yourself and your confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you raise a good point, because every couple is going to have disagreements.
Sure.
You're going to be with someone who's a jerk sometimes. You're going to be the jerk sometimes. I mean, we are human, but it's recognizing when it's more constant than it isn't, then that's where, okay, maybe there's a communication problem. Maybe, like, I'm not a proponent of divorce. Do the work. Try to do it together. Go to counseling. Fix on the communication. And people will say, like, what's the number one reason a marriage fails? And they think it's infidelity. No, it's lack of connection. It's lack of communication. Like, that's the reason. That's where the breakdown happens. So sometimes it's something that can be worked on.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, too, you know, learn your lessons. I know, you know, relationships are mirrors. It's helping us get better. I love it. You know, my boyfriend and I are very honest with each other. And when he brings things to my awareness, like, I just get curious about it. Like, I'm just like, oh, okay, well, help me understand it. Because I had no clue that that's how I'm coming off or whatever. Like, help me understand that. Okay, so that's how it made you feel. Oh my gosh, well, let me look at that. Was there anything on your end where maybe there's something going on in your background or whatever? But at the end of the day, like, I don't want to make you feel that way. So whatever. But at the same time, you have to advocate for yourself. And you used a word, and I really want to invite our bombshell to get over this word. And like, I just don't mind the bitch word. I don't care. Like, call me that all you want. Like, I really don't care, because I am a bitch. But you left out an adjective. I'm a bad bitch. Okay. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, and then we'll move forward. But you can't allow words or attitudes to shrink you. Like, you really have to just own that your authority and your power is part of why you're on this planet and what you're here to do. So that's my diatribe on that. Now, when we're wearing a lot of different hats, and we all are, and especially at our age, Renee, sometimes we have aging parents in addition to kids still at home. Thank God I don't have that situation. You know, we're business owners, we're volunteers, so much. And then we try to have friendships involved in it. How do you juggle it all? I mean, you read a whole book in the midst of all of this. How do you juggle it all where you can do all the things and still stand in your power because you're not exhausted?
I don't do all the things at once. And I think that idea of balancing is crap. We can't balance all of that. So it, you know, what I do is I look at what's important right now in that moment in my life. That's what gets my attention. So in one season, it was writing the book, and other things took a back seat.
Right.
I wasn't practicing law as much. I stepped back a little bit from managing my business. And so because I couldn't show up everywhere for everyone. So it's recognizing, like, what's the most important thing right now? And that gets my time and attention. And everything else does it, and that's okay. And sometimes it's having conversations with people in your life to be like, okay, right now for this season, I'm going to pull back a little bit. Because I want you to understand why that I can't show up the way that I did. And it's communicating that, having that dialogue so people understand where you're coming from, and then having some grace with yourself so you don't have that expectation that you have to do everything to everyone, because it's impossible. There's burnout. Burnout's real. Like, I'm a hustler. Like, I will work, and it's like born, you know, it's built in me. That's how I'm just built. And if I didn't intentionally create the space to have some flow and to have let my creativity, I would just go, go, go. And I had been in a season like that. And I was like, this is not working. Like, I was frazzled. I was not healthy. So it's just realizing, like, for me to be the best version of whatever I'm doing in that moment, maybe it's the boss, maybe it's the writer, maybe it's the mom. It's just, it's okay to let other stuff slip away. Like, life goes on.
And you know what I learned the hard way? Like, I mean, that's my favorite way to learn, is the hard way. Is that I have to stop thinking. I agree with you in shifting seasons. And it's like, you know, this constant pyramid of what's on the top and what's on the bottom. And, you know, if it's on the pyramid at all. But I had to stop thinking like, well, in this season, I want to be a better mom. Or in this season, I want to be a better this. It's really about in this season. And I say this a lot now on the podcast, and it resonates with people. In this season, with all that I have going on, I need to focus on protecting my nervous system.
Oh, yeah.
Me. Because I can't be a good mom, and I can't be a good CEO, and I can't be a good this or that or whatever, wife, girlfriend, whatever. If my nervous system is jacked, I can't show up at my best, like physically, emotionally, mentally. So I'm going to cause problems because I did not take care of me first. So I encourage everyone to always start there before you bloom out into all these areas.
Oh my God, I couldn't agree more. Like, I could feel it in my body when it's time for me to walk away from my desk.
Yeah.
I'm gonna snap at somebody, probably gonna be someone who doesn't deserve it. Like, it's time for me to stand up, breathe, and take a walk. Or just shut my laptop and be done for the day. And be like, you know what? It's 3 o'clock. This, like, I need to take care of my heart, my head, and hopefully I'm the
joy.
My everything. And I'll just close the laptop and be like, I'm done for the day. I'm calling, you know, I'm walking out. Because, you know, if we don't protect that, who will? Yeah. Everyone wants a piece of us.
Everyone.
You know, everyone wants our time and attention.
Christina, my executive assistant, like almost every day, she's like, oh my God, like everybody wants you. Like every human on the planet wants your attention. And I'm like, huh? So you just, you know, and I'm a people person and I love people. And like, I think my purpose on this planet is to help people like see their value and to feel seen. And so I never want to tell somebody like, I don't have time for you. But then there's also the realization that I have 2 adult kids and a son-in-law, and I have a grandbaby, and I have 5 siblings, and I have 2 parents who are still living in together. And I, you know, want them to be feel like I care about them, and probably do a much better job of that outside of our family text. And, you know, and then there's like 7 employees, and then there's like, get in line, you know what I mean? Like, then there's customers, and you know, and then vendors, and blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
on and on and on. You can't expect to be there for everybody who wants your time and attention. That's unrealistic.
Yeah.
So where do you draw the line? How do you know, like, this is for me, or I should be paying attention to this, or it's worth my time? And I don't mean worth like you're worth it as a human being, but like, yeah, this is something that would be a good use of my time and what limited time I have.
So I do the, if it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no. Like, I do that a lot. On opportunities, right? Because people will reach out and say, can you do this? And that's easy. That one I have. When it comes to, like, especially in my business, and it comes to, there's so many things. I'm on a hiring frenzy right now. And so there's new people coming in. And so I have to take the time to train them. Like, that's really important work. Like, I have to set that foundation. So it's like, all right, everything else takes a back seat because this thing is really, really important. So I try to prioritize, like, does everyone, you know, what's the task? Is it task? Is it something I can delegate? Like, is it something that I have to do it? Like, I know if I'm not the one doing it, then it's not going to get done right. As much as I'd hate to admit this, more times than not, the answer is no. And there's probably someone who can be trained to do that. So my husband works for me now in the law firm. And he's always like, you know, let go of that thing, like let go of that. And for a long time, I was like, yeah, but I have, like, no, I don't have to. Like, I can pass that off. And now I got really good at it and starting to probably regret it because I'm like, oh, this is not a me problem. This is a you problem. So, you know, I think it's a challenge. I think any entrepreneur, I think, struggles with that because we want things done a certain way. We value the quality of it. And it's always hard just to balance all of it. I think most entrepreneurs are like the people who just want to keep giving too, right? Keep giving and dreaming. And like, I know myself, like, I'm the visionary. and then go someone else go execute. Like uh-huh. That's how I function. And
is your husband the integrator in your business?
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if I like start to be the person who has to do like the integration, then I start to get a little like crappy about it. And I'm kind of knocked out of my zone. So I try to be really mindful about putting the things in the boxes and staying in my best box.
Yeah, I love that. I'm in a season right now where I'm having to do a lot of the things that are not my wheelhouse, not because I have a great team and everybody has their thing. And I, trust me, from training to all kinds of stuff, I've let go and I just fully trust them. They do a great job. But because of new things that we've brought on, it has to be me. Like I'm it.
Yeah.
And so I just keep a running list. I have a digital planner. It's like Artfully something. I can't remember. I'll stick it in the show notes. But like I have a running list of fire myself. Like that's a task that I want to fire myself from. That is a whole part of the business I want to fire myself from. And that way I'm very aware. Like I know I have to do this now. It's really not an option. And so suck it up, buttercup. Yeah. But when the time comes where I can put somebody in that because I'm ready to train them, the process has been created, it's fully vetted, we have the funds to hire a new person, whatever that looks like, now I have a very clear path of prioritizing delegating something on, you know, what I can delegate right now in real time.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I use a trusty old pad of paper.
Heck yeah.
I have, right? Like I have all the digital stuff. Like our technology is like, is upgraded and integrated and AI and all this stuff. And I'm using like a yellow pad.
Yeah. But, and so I love that too. And I've always had paper planners and I write in paper journals, but the travel is so disruptive with lists. So that's why I'm always like, okay, how much of this can we do on an airplane? And plus, quite frankly, I am so tired of being told I have to put my laptop up to take off and come down.
I know.
But this person next to me can have their iPad, which is almost the same size as my laptop and also has a keyboard attached to it. But that's a whole other episode. So I'm a little obsessed with you. So I'm just going to read the back cover of this before I ask my final question. It's time to stop living your life by somebody else's rules. Do you feel stuck in a job you despise, a joyless marriage, a role you didn't ask for, or even just in your own head? If you can survive a pandemic, homeschooling, loss of income, and even a toilet paper shortage, you can do anything. Do you guys see why I love this woman? But changing the status quo requires you to decide that you're not settling for mediocre anymore. Renee Bauer, an award-winning divorce attorney and entrepreneur, teaches you how to overcome doubt and uncertainty, bypass the BS holding you back, and execute on your bravery in these three simple steps so you can win at this thing called life. The Self-Empowerment and Motivational Book is your own personal hype squad that can catapult you from flatline to fabulous. She Who Wins is for the good girl within who's ready to become the fierce female fighting to get out. And then you can say, if I'm too much, go find less. And you have the life of your dreams. I'm tickled pink that you're on the show. So with that beautiful expression of your art that you've put into the world, what do you have as a final parting piece of advice for a bombshell, a bold, brave, unwaveringly confident woman in business?
I love that. Get really clear on what you want. Write it down. Say, I want this. Drop whatever excuse is holding you back. Make a plan with detail and specificity as to when you're going to actually take the action. It is great to dream things, but we have to put it into action. So write it down, commit to it, promise yourself you'll take that action on that date, and let go of what happens after that. Let go of the expectation. Just roll with everything that, oh, you're filling something out. I've learned that. So it's, you know, it's just, it's like Nike. Just do it. Like, just do it. Who cares if it's scary? Who cares if you're sweating? Who cares if it's uncomfortable? Like, you just go for it, because when you're 90 years old and you're looking back at your life, you don't want to ever say, I wish I went for it. I wish I did that thing. And you want to look back and be like, I went for it. Maybe it worked. Maybe it didn't. But I still tried. And I know what happened on the other side of that. And the thing is, like, feeling choked by your job is hard. Being in a relationship that's not for you is hard. Trying something new and different than those options is hard. Choose your hard. But with everything that you're saying, I'm like, okay, yeah, well, bombshell, you know what to do, because you need to go back to the episode where we do our annual planning.
And you have the five things that you're going to leave behind just for, you know, positivity's sake. I do on my visual ad, the five things that you're going to leave behind the past year, the five things that you're going to add to your next year. And then one of the things you're going to add are those goals. And then one of the things you're going to add is your vision board. And so when she's telling you, get clear on what you want, now you understand why I do that episode every single year, because I want you to be clear on what you want. And here's a little behind the scenes fun fact too. My ex-husband and I went and did this process, not exactly this, but we went off and we planned our divorce together as partners, like as this is what's going to happen. This is how we're going to manage it. That's how we were able to live together for 6 months with nobody knowing that we were going to get a divorce. And so, you know, intentionality is everything in your life. And it doesn't have to be ugly, and it doesn't have to be contentious. It doesn't have to be nasty when you leave your job. Like, you can be like, you're a total douche canoe and I can't stand working for you, but you don't have to leave in a fury. You can leave respectfully and just be like, this is it for me. I'm going to go do this over here. Peace be with you. Have a nice life. And like, leave it behind. Right.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to hijack your thing, but you got me all hype again.
I love that. Like, my vision board looks nothing like what you had. Like, mine is a mess. That is pretty.
Yeah. Well, and I always say that too. Like, I use Canva. I have a big, like, 20 by something. I don't know. It's huge. It's in my shower, so I have to look at it every single day. It's framed. Like, it's the whole thing. But I like Canva, and I like for them to be in a certain order, and I have certain pockets that I do. But, like, my three girlfriends just had a vision party together, and they were, you know, cutting things out, and it's a little more chaotic and not chaotic, but, you know, visually. And that's what delights them, so to you. Renee, I'm just going to fly to you. We're going to have happy hour in Connecticut sometime when your weather gets better.
I know. Well, you don't want to be here now.
Come to me. Come to bed. All right. I got a guest room. You bring your husband, you, me, him, and my partner. We can all go hang out. But where to find you on the socials? So you have on Instagram, you're Mrs. Renee Bauer, B-A-U-E-R. And I have been saying that correctly.
It's me. M-S.
Yes,
M-S. M-S.
I got the R and Renee transposed there. Miss. Yeah. I thought, well, that's interesting. She's very proud of her marriage now.
No, Miss.
M-S, not M-I-S-S, M-S.
Yeah, yeah. We're keeping it neutral, you know?
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Unfortunately, I couldn't change my last name back because there's so much SEO, you know, and like, that's the words, and there's the...
So, funny story is Bauer is actually the second husband's name. That was the only thing worth keeping from that marriage, because my maiden name was a mouthful, and then my first husband's name was just not a right fit. And I'm like, so like, I held on to this name. I'm like, we'll run with that. Just all that I have left.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm like, it's a name. Whatever. It's
a name, right?
Like a stage name. It's on my book. It's on my awards. Amber Hurdle did all of that stuff. It would be confusing. And also, I couldn't get Amber Erickson's social media handle, so it's fine. Like, it's a different world we live in now.
So true.
So other than MrsRenaeBauer.com, where else can we find you online? Anywhere else?
Yeah, that Ms. Renee Bauer is kind of everything, whether it's Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, it's all the same.
Okay. And she has a podcast, so obviously you want to check that out. And if you are going through a divorce, you think you're going through a divorce, she has some divorce resources on her website as well. It's really fun, and she's got her cheetah print on, and y'all know that that's the cover of my book, so we're sisters in rent as well. It's my favorite color.
it's my favorite color. It's a neutral.
Neutral. Exactly. Well, Renee, it has been such a delight to have you on here. And I just think more women need voices like yours in their ears, because there's so much other stuff going into their ears all the time. So thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. This was fun and sassy, like you promised.
All right, Bombshell, you know what to do. There's probably a good girl in your life, or maybe you're the good girl and you want to share this with another friend. Like, listen, we were just talking about this. Share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Share this episode with somebody who needs Renee's sass and hard-earned. Listen, we don't become authors and speakers because we just envisioned something and did it. We learned the hard way, and now we're teaching other people. And so you can pick up her book, I'm sure, at Amazon, where books are sold. You also can go to MrsRenaeBauer.com and it'll link to you there. But this is going to be a good read, and I think you'll really enjoy it. So share the episode, like, rating, review, all the good stuff. Leave a comment on the YouTube if you watch it there. And I will see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Bombshell Business Podcast. Visit amberhurdle.com for more resources like show notes, and check out thebombshellbusinesswoman.com to grab my book and download the free bonuses.